He wants you out there preaching. Is it okay to come to church and have fellowship? Oh, hallelujah. Or not come to church. See, I'm stupid. I say the same old things too. Come together and have fellowship. Is it good to do that? Yes, amen. It's good to do that. Is it okay to do it in a building? Yes, amen. It's okay to do it in a building. But you don't stay there and don't do nothing. You go out and you take what you got with you. And you start more churches and you start more fellowships and you bring people to Christ and the church grows and it gets salty. And guess what? You want to see this country turned around, don't go to the polls, go to the poll. You got that? Don't go to the polls, go to the poll. Go to the cross. Get this country turned around for Jesus Christ. Get the Christians turned around for Jesus Christ. Get the Christians turned on to Jesus Christ, and you will see God move in the government to change it. Nothing can happen in the natural until it's first done in the spirit. It has to be accomplished in the spirit first. Homosexuality is taken over the country because it's accomplished in the spirit, because the church helped it be accomplished. Boy, I wouldn't have preached that a few years ago. I'd have been afraid. I don't care if they don't like it. It's the truth. And these ministers out here hate my guts, most of them. They hate me. And I don't care. I don't really like them too much either. None of them can give me anything. None of them can add anything to me. Had a preacher come up, "Where did you get your credentials?" There was a time that would have bothered me. Now I say, "I got them from God. Where'd you get yours? Let me see yours. Will they burn?" Next one that comes up to me and asks me that, I want to say, "Let me see your credentials." When he hands them to me, I want to burn them with a lighter. And say, "Well, they must not be very good then, are they?" Is somebody getting some of this? Churches don't want you out there preaching. They want you under their thumb. The preachers aren't seeding the word of feet. Let me try that again. My teeth are trying to fall out. The preachers are not feeding you the good seed. They're feeding you weeds. That's why you're full of fear. That's why you're full of pride. That's why you're afraid to preach. You're afraid to pray. You're afraid to minister. You're afraid of screwing up, or you're not good enough, or there's this or that or anything. There's so much that you're afraid of. Get free. Get free. So what if you mess up? So what? God can fix it. I've actually spoken in tongues and had people hear it in their own language. If God can do that, can't he take my English and fix it? Hallelujah. If he can make a person understand another person speaking in tongues, and praise God, he can make a person understand your stupid English when you mess it up. Somebody asked me, if I went to Mexico, how would I preach to the Spanish? You want to know how I'd preach to the Spanish? If you weren't with me? No, he'd get it screwed up. Steve never repeats what I say properly. And you don't either. At least Francisco, I can almost trust to get it said exactly as I say it. Even if he didn't agree with me, he'd say it. He might tell me later, I don't agree with you, brother. Oh, if I didn't have Francisco, you know how I'd do it? I'd stand up and start praying in tongues. That's the truth. I'd just start praying in tongues. And I figure if God wanted somebody to understand, he'd let them understand. If not, what was it to me? So I looked like a gringo over there going jibber jabber whatever. So what? So what? But I'll look stupid. So what? Do you understand? Do you know how free it is not to care what other people think of you? To be free of that? To be free to serve Jesus Christ and love him and not have to worry about all this other garbage. Look, the tares look at the ground and the things of the ground. The wheat looks at the things of God. Now tomorrow night, we're going to look at a couple more parables. And we're going to see how they all tie in. But let me throw you something. Let me just throw you a boomerang, a little bomb in here. Just something to give you something to think about, okay? John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, it says a verse there. It says, as many as believed on him, gave he them power to become the sons of God. Amen? All right, now let me show you a thing. And some of you have heard this, and some of you may not have ever even thought of it, but let me show you a thing. To as many as believe on him, gave he them power to become the sons of God. Who are the sons of God? The angels. The angels. You never hear the term the sons of God in the scriptures that it doesn't mean the angels. The sons of God came down and took the daughters of men. The sons of God came before God in heaven. The sons of God, the sons of God, the sons of God. Here it says, and as many as believed on him, that is Jesus, gave he them power to become the sons of God. Why would he give you power to become the sons of God or an angel? Because in the first earth, in the first heaven, there was an angel named Lucifer who rebelled. And he was cast out of heaven along with one third of the angels. And there is a void in heaven that needs to be filled. Jesus has taken the place of the cherub. And I'm going to be with him to take the place of one of those other angels. I don't know about you. I don't know what you want to be, but I'm going to be one of them. That's the Church of Philadelphia. And I'm going to be part of that. And if you want to be part of it, then you've got to shed yourself of pride, shed yourself of yourself, and just get into the Word of God and start believing God. See, Adam had the first shot. Adam had the first shot. In Genesis chapter 1, God created man, not Adam. He created mankind. He populated the earth. In Genesis chapter 2, he created a garden eastward in Eden, and there he formed a man called Adam. And then he made a woman called Eve. I ain't going there. You ain't going to make me. All right. Now, Adam stood in that place between those people in Genesis chapter 1 and God. And he fell. He fell. And then Jesus came and stood in it and took it back. And now he is putting together the troop of angels that's going to serve with him in heaven. And if you go and look in Revelation chapter 3, where it talks about the Church of Philadelphia, one of the attributes that he was going to give to the Church of Philadelphia, he says, you will become the pillars, I will make you to be pillars in the temple of my God. Now, when I first read that, I said, pillars? I don't want to be a pillar for eternity. Who wants to stand around stiff for eternity? But then I realized what he was saying. You know, I'm a little slow sometimes. You ever heard of the pillar of the community? The leader. Oh, this guy's a pillar of the community. He is respected. He is looked up to. I'd say the church in Philadelphia is going to be respected. When God takes the synagogue of Satan, those that say they are Jews and are not, but do lie, when he takes those people and grabs them by the back of the head and puts them down on my feet and say, worship there, for I love this guy, I'd say I get a little respect. Amen? Don't get none here. Don't want it, but we'll get it there. To be a pillar means you're going to be with Christ, taking up that space. You have the power to become one of those angels. He will give it to you, but you've got to take it, and you've got to walk in it, and you can't let Satan or anybody steal it from you. You've got to want it. You've got to want it. And if you don't want it, all the preaching in the world ain't going to make you get it. If you really love God and if you really love Jesus Christ, you're going to get in that word. You're going to read that word. You're going to learn to believe that word. And you're going to walk that word. And if you don't, you can flap your tater trap till you're blue in the face. You ain't going to impress me. And you don't have to impress me, but you better impress God. And when you die and you go to heaven, you're going to have a free will in heaven. See, you didn't think I was going to get back to that, did you? When you die and you go to heaven, you're going to have a free will. This is what Hebrews chapter 6 is all about. And if you're in heaven and you sin there, there is no more sacrifice. There is no grace in heaven. You cannot take Christ off his throne and crucify him a second time. You will be cast out of heaven into hell. And we find many examples in the scriptures where angels, even after the fall of Adam, fall of Lucifer, were cast into hell. When it talks about the angels that left their first estate and came down and saw the daughters of men that they were fair and took them to wives, he wasn't talking about the fallen angels that fell with Lucifer. He was talking about angels that came down from heaven and went to the daughters of men, and he cast them out, and they are reserved in chains. They're the ones reserved in chains. The fallen angels that fell with Lucifer aren't in chains. They're the spirits that are in the heavenlies. They're not in chains. They're doing battle in the heavenlies. Why do you think all this had to happen? I preached the other night, God didn't know everything. And that bothers people. When I preach that, people get upset, and I don't blame them. God knows everything about his plan and everything that he did, but there ain't nobody in this tent that can convince me that God knew Lucifer was going to fall. God did not know Lucifer was going to fall. And you know why I know he didn't know? You know why I know it? Because if he'd known it, he would have created death. And if he had created death when Lucifer fell, God would have killed him. But God didn't kill him because he didn't create death. And God is righteous. And God is fair. And he couldn't say, okay, Lucifer, you fell, so now I'm going to invent death and kill you with it. That would not be righteous. So God devised a plan. He devised a plan. And this plan involved Adam and Eve and the serpent. God didn't know how long it would take, but he knew sooner or later Adam would fall. He set him up to fall. And Eve and Adam and the serpent together when that fruit was eaten, death was created. Now God had a tool he could use against Satan. Now he had his tool. But he had to save Adam. It wouldn't be fair to use Adam to create this tool and then kill him. Amen? That wouldn't be fair. And if I know anything about God, he's always fair. So he devised a plan by which if one man could come and sin would come upon all men, that by one man could come and be obedient, God could take it off of all men. So by Adam's fall, all men came under sin and condemnation. By Jesus's, the second Adam, his obedience, you can come out from under that condemnation if you will but believe on him and trust him. Then that death will not be used on you, but it will be used on the unbelieving and on Lucifer and the fallen angels. Isn't that simple? God is so smart. He is so smart. You have my approval, Lord, like that really counts. I don't know. Daddies kind of like it when their children turn around to him and say, you know, Daddy, you're pretty cool. You're pretty smart. So he might like it when I say, you're pretty cool, God. Smart, too. You learned anything? God has a thing for you folks. A place. And it's an exciting place to be in. There are people in this tent right here that if you will break loose of the pride, break loose of yourself, and walk with Jesus Christ, there are people in this tent right here that God is going to use to raise the dead and heal all manners of sickness and disease if you just turn loose and let him be God. Do you know he can't give that power to somebody who thinks it's all about them? And I'll just show you how funny God is. I don't normally do this, but I'm going to show you. You're here tonight. You were supposed to be in New Hampshire. I knew you were going to be here. Oh, I knew you were going to be here. And the other guy ain't here, and he swore he was going to be here. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'll be there tomorrow night. But I think he ran him off. I think Scott ran him off. But I knew you'd be here. You know why I knew that? And don't let this go to your head because your halo will be too tight and you'll have a headache. That's where headaches come from, you know, wearing your halo too tight. Don't let this go to your head. See, with that other guy, it's all about him. He made that clear. We tried to tell him, it's not about you, but it's all about him. And God ain't finished with him. He can still get through to him. Amen. But since you got here, it wasn't about you. You really want to know about Jesus. That's the difference. That's why you're here and he's not. Do you understand that? I've had people come sit in my tent and say, man, I don't even know why I'm here. I don't even like this guy. Been there, huh? How many years did you really dislike me? It was a long time. About 7 years. You really dislike me. Yeah, she hated me. Didn't blame her. I mean, you know. She kept saying, Richard, you're rubbing me the wrong way. I said, no, I'm not. You just turned the wrong direction. You know, you grab a cat by the tail and go like this. See if it likes it. The cat starts acting stupid. Say, well, turn around, dummy. Turn the cat around and go like this, and it'll be all right, right? I'm rubbing the same direction. Cat just turned wrong. If you don't like the way I rub you, turn around. Isn't that simple? Now, these guys that work up here, I give them, Francisco, when he first came with me, I said, you want trouble with me? I said, I promise you two things. One meal a day and a hard time. Isn't that right? That's all I promised him. One meal a day and a hard time. Well, that was up to last year. Halfway through last year, I said, you remember that promise I gave you? I'd give you two things, a meal a day and a hard time. He said, yeah. I said, well, I'm taking back the meal a day. Now, I don't give them nothing. They want something, they got to go to the same person I got to go to. Amen? They want something, they got to go to the same one I have to go through. Right? And he's learning now. He's learning to receive. I tell you, when he first come around, you try to get him. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. I say, well, we got a little pride problem? Oh, no, no, no. Now you try to give him some, yes, praise God, thank you, amen. God wants to bless you, and you got to be there. Do you know, I'm picking on him, but he knows I love him, and I'm picking on him for your sakes. You see? Because if I picked on you, you might not hear it. But if I pick on him, you can hear it better. You see? But, see, there's a lot of things God wanted to give to him, but he couldn't receive it because he was too busy rejecting it. He didn't think it was worthy. Didn't think he was good enough. Didn't think he knew enough or was polished enough or whatever. Just like you. Just like you. But when he finally came to that point and he had to use me to do it, man, when we first met, you couldn't get two guys as far apart in the flesh as we were. I mean, I expected this guy to have monk written all over him, man. He was walking along, you know, with his little bald head. A couple today, you had him a hood with a sweatshirt, you know. Me, I'm the opposite. I'm running around there, big mouth hanging out everywhere, you know. He's all quiet and just soft-spoken and Sister Ann and Sister this one and Brother something. Me, hey, stupid, come here, dummy. What's the matter with you, you silly thing? We're just total opposites. In fact, it was kind of interesting because some of the people in the ministry start saying, oh, Francisco's such a holy man. You know what they're saying? Why can't you be as holy as he is? And the women loved him. Oh, sister. God bless you, sister. God bless. And the women just love Francisco, man. Wherever he goes, the women just love him. They take one look at me and they go to Francisco. Which is all right for me. It's safe for me. But it stinks to be him. I've seen some of them women out on the road chasing him, and I know what they want. They want a husband. I told him one time down in Texas, there's this girl down there in Texas. I said, that girl wants to marry you. Oh, no, brother. Oh, yeah. I was right, wasn't I? And I used to tell him, well, you know, Francisco's got his way, I've got mine, but neither one of us are holy. God is holy, God is righteous. We are holy by faith in him. And I told him, you know, you got to loosen up some. You can't take yourself so serious because one of these days you're going to pop a cork, and he did. But God healed him. and delivered him. Amen. You know, God will let you pop a cork if you need to. And I just, you know, I praise God for Francisco. He's been a real blessing. And I hope I've been as much of a blessing to him as he's been to me. And we've got to, it better, it doesn't matter because we're going to have to stick together anyway. God's already told us that. But he can take a guy like him and a guy like me, put us together and have us work for him. Man, he can do anything with you too. Because it's not about you. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. Amen. I think I've talked enough. I don't even know what time it is, but I think I've talked enough. Brother Francisco, give him something to go home with.